So before I kick off this morning, I have to give a little side note and a disclaimer. Much of what we've been sharing over the last few weeks and again today is straight from the Freedom of Christ Participation Guide. And it's been a wonderful series. It was a wonderful series when we did it as a home study group. Some amazing lessons that was taught. And the reason why I've taken so much out of these guides is because I just simply don't want to miss out on anything valuable that each one of us can use on this journey that we are on together to be disciples for Jesus. I also want to encourage each of you, and I really, really want to encourage you to try and make it here on the 20th, a Saturday. Don't miss that final session, folks. It's really going to be an amazing, a spiritual and a special time for each of us. It's here at Saturday, the 20th of June at the church. Please make a note of it in your diary. Put a note on your cell phone, tie a ribbon on your finger if you have to. But make sure that you get here. It's going to be important. It's going to be amazing. And it's going to bring this season to a beautiful close. The steps to freedom in Christ are not just a good idea. It's not somebody's idea. They are biblical pathways to help each of us deal with our spiritual struggles so that we can grow and become fruitful disciples for Jesus Christ. And if you've missed any of the sessions, that's okay, it doesn't matter. We've got them saved online. Go onto our YouTube channel, find Hillcrest Presbyterian Family Church, and go and watch it in your own time before the 20th, and get here, and come and join this time with us. All right. I think before I kick off, let's just pray. Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the first section of this Freedom in Christ series, you will remember Brian shared on some key truths. The second section that we shared on was considering our enemies who try and turn us from these truths. Today we begin the third section in the series, and it's focusing on how we can break free from the past, and especially how we handle emotions in a godly way, or as my title said today, handling our emotions well. As many of you know, whenever one must prepare for a sermon or to share, or whenever you're busy with God's work, the evil one, who is not worth being mentioned of this pulpit today, will do whatever he can to derail you. The last few weeks has been very difficult, very emotional. After the loss of my baby brother, we've had to deal with my first son going to hospital. I fell ill, traveling up to Sabi. Then Joshy went to hospital, and while he was there, Shelley got list for hospital as well. And she ended up in hospital. So it was just me and Caleb at home in the end, and goodness gracious, what a time. But you know what, emotions were running high. Just challenging. I know why I'm given the father role, not the father and the mother role, but definitely not the mother role. They did enjoy their lunch boxes, eh? But folks, you know what? I'm here today by God's grace. You can hear my voice is a bit funny. Monday it closed up and it's gone. And Brian is like, "Are you going to be okay?" I said, "Brian, I'll learn sign language if I have to. This message is going to be taught from this pulpit this week by God's grace. Amen." Amen. So we must remember God too. And you must excuse me if I grab some water. The medication does make your mouth a little bit dry. So please excuse me for a sec. We must remember, folks, that as we learned in our first session, we are all created in God's image. And God himself is emotional. If we can put that first slide up, please. The next one. There we go. No, not that one. It's Exodus 34:14. Okay, don't worry about it. Okay, but I'll tell you about it. In Exodus 34:14, we read that our God is a jealous God. We read that he's a jealous God, eh? We also read, if we go a bit further in Ephesians 4, verse 30, we were told that it's possible to grieve the Holy Spirit. Okay, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can sadden the Holy Spirit. Hey, boys. In John 11:35, we also read, when Jesus was at the grave of Lazarus, he wept. He was saddened. Hey? And when he looked in Luke, when he looked to Jerusalem, he was saddened. He wept. We are created in God's image, so we too are emotional beings. By nature, we were created to be emotional. Emotions are not something we can turn on and off like ignition of a car or won't go there. But it's part of us. I remember about 22 years ago, just before I recommitted my life to Christ, I went through a really difficult season. My life was spiraling out of control. I went through a series of making some really silly, bad decisions. I was in a broken relationship. Finances was collapsing. I tried, and I thought it would work. I tried to numb things through alcohol and distraction instead of dealing with what was going on inside. I remember arriving at work, bloodshot eyes, reeking of, let's just say, the previous night's cascades. And the owners, the business owners I used to work for, Laurie Bailu and Derek Underhill, God bless them both, strong men of faith, called me in. Said, if you don't clean up now, we don't actually have a job for you. That night, I went out hard. Nothing to be proud of. Next morning, I remember dragging myself out of bed on my way to work. Wasn't looking good. I remember as I drove through my gate, the slave cylinder on my clutch just went poof, and my car stopped. The warning light, it's been on for some time. But in that moment, life came crashing down on me. And I remember getting really angry, putting my hand up and said, if there is a God, why is this happening to me? Never ever was I so scared when I heard something say inside, JJ, you don't even pray to God. I grew up in a very good Christian home. My dad's been the head elder at church for as long as I can remember. I was never that alone in my entire life. You see, friends, in life there are many warnings along the way. I chose to ignore them while my back was turned to God. I looked for answer and healing in a bottle and on the local club's dance floor. I ignored the red lights in my car just as I ignored the painful emotions that was inside of me. It's almost like taking a piece of masking tape and just sticking it over that little red light in your car so you can't see it. And it's not a problem. Consciously ignoring our feelings and choosing not to deal with things is unhealthy. In the series of Freedom of Christ, they say that it's like burying a live mole. It's eventually going to find its way to the top. And you know what? It's going to present itself in the form of illness or even worse. You see, if I took a moment and I stopped and checked out what was the problem, and if I took a moment to see what was going on inside, or why this little red light in my car was actually bothering, this story would have had a very different ending. The functions is to alert you to a problem with what you believe or with what is wrong with your car. I want to turn to a scripture in Lamentations 3. That one I saw you had, if you want to put it up. 3 verse 1 to 11. And I need just one more of these sips. I was going to call my wife up to read it for me, because you know my Afrikaans tongue might just fall over these big English words. But I'll give it a bash. We read in Lamentations, you know, Jeremiah is in complete despair because he believes that God is the cause of all of his problems. Just like I believe that God was the cause of all of my problems and of everything that was spiraling out of control at that stage of my life. But he says, I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of the Lord's wrath. He has driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than in light. Indeed, he has turned his hand against me again and again, all day long. He had made my skin and my flesh grow old, and he has broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. He has made me dwell in darkness like those long dead. He has walked me in, so I cannot. He has walled me in, so I cannot escape. He has weighed me down with chains. Even when I call out or I cry for help, he shuts out my prayers. He has barred my way with blocks of stone. He has made my path crooked. Like a bear lying in wait, like a lion in hiding, he dragged me from the path and mangled me and left me without help. Let's look again what Jeremiah believed here. Is it true? Would God really turn his back against his servant again and again? Does he surround his people with bitterness? Does he surround his people with hardship? Does he shut out our prayers? Of course not. So then what was the problem? Simply, that what Jeremiah believed about God was actually not true. God hadn't walled him in. God wasn't like a wild animal who mangled him. But Jeremiah doesn't leave it there, folks. He thinks more about it, and he has a change of perspective. So let's carry on reading from verse 19, chapter 3, Lamentations. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul downcasted within me. Yet this I can call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for the compassion never fail. For his compassion never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. And I just love verse 25. It says, the Lord is good to those who hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. Amen. So friends, what changed in his circumstances? Absolutely nothing. Did God change? No. The only thing that changed was what was in his mind and how he looked at the circumstances. Although we cannot control our emotions directly, we can change them over time as we reflect on it and make conscious choices to change what we choose to believe. So then what about these negative emotions? Well, not only did God give us the ability to feel physical pain for our own protection, he also gave us emotional pain for our own protection. What can they teach us? Well, I believe negative emotions can actually help us. things like hormones or the weather can play a big part in producing negative emotions, as we know. I, for one, don't like winter. I'm not a very big fan. I have self-diagnosed seasonal depression when it's too cold for too long. I enjoy the feeling the sun on my back. You know, I enjoy wiping the sweat of my brow. You can jump in a pool. My wife says, oh, but you can always put a blanket on. No, you can always jump in a pool, man. You can always have a cold shower if you have to. Or you can always take your clothes off, I suppose. But generally speaking, I don't like the cold. If the weather stayed just misty long, I'm not happy. But honestly, emotions are a gift from God to help us uncover something we believe that isn't actually true. So let's consider two areas where emotions do that. And look firstly at faulty life goals. Okay? We all have a certain number of life goals. Often these goals are our own goals. And a lot of exterior factors outside of our control can influence our life goals and the outcome of our life goals. What is key is that our goals must be aligned with the goals that God has for us. And negative emotions can help us identify those that are not really in line with God's goals. If you are finding yourself feeling angry a lot, it's usually because someone or something is blocking the goal that you might have. Suppose you have consciously or even unconsciously developed a life goal to have this loving, harmonious, and happy Christian family. Is that a good thing? Well, who can block that goal? Every single person in your family can block that goal. There is only so much you can do to influence how your children turn out one day. You cannot control every factor, friends. If you believe this goal is what will make you significant, you will go to pieces. Every time your spouse or your children fail to live up to the image that you have created of family harmony. Anxiety would signal that achieving a goal feels uncertain. You are hoping something will happen in a certain way, but you have no guarantee that it will. You cannot control all factors. For example, if you come to believe that your sense of security depends on financial success, and that has become your life goal, you probably suffer from a lot of anxiety. You see, you have no guarantee that you can ever get enough money. Or if you think you've got enough money, you have no guarantee that there's not going to be some financial crisis that wipes your savings away overnight. Sometimes a life goal that was already uncertain seems to slip further and further and further away, to the point where its fulfillment seems completely impossible. At that point, anxiety often turns to depression. Now, let me be clear. The causes of depression are complex, and our hormones and other things going on, like the cold weather, can affect our bodies, and that can play a big part of it. But if there is no overwhelming physical cause, then depression is usually rooted in a sense of hopelessness or helplessness. But friends, here's the good news. Child of God is not helpless. And a child of God is not hopeless. Doesn't matter what the circumstances. We will get rid of a great deal of anger anxiety, and even depression if we ensure that our life goals are in line with God's goals for us. No one and nothing can block the goals that God has for us. Why? God won't let us fail. God doesn't want to see us fail. He loves us too much. Amen. Excuse me. The second thing I want to take a quick look at is uncovering the past experience we have taught ourselves to believe. Or things that our past experiences has taught us to believe. We all have had some sort of traumatic experience in life, and I'm not going to ask you to reflect on that now. But when you suffered a negative experience, you mentally process it, and at the time it happened, there's a lot of thought and expression and emotion that goes into that at the time. I think a lot of past experience can cause you to believe some things about yourself that's not necessarily true. For example, someone who's been molested as a child might have felt dirty or unworthy. Or someone who was bullied at school might have felt weak or insignificant. Or if your spouse or your girlfriend or boyfriend was unfaithful, you might battle with trust again. Often those beliefs came as a result of a traumatic experience because it becomes deeply ingrained and a stronghold in our lives. We remain in bondage to the past not because of the traumatic experience itself, but because of the lies it causes us to believe. I loved Brian's analogy last week where he said, it's like running a race and the devil standing on the sideline shouting at you, you're not going to finish the comrades, or you're not going to finish that race, or you're not good enough, or you're not worthy, or you are dirty. Those are all lies. Friends, remember, children of God are not primarily products of their past. As children of God, we are primary products of Christ's work on the cross and his resurrection. Nobody can change our past. Nobody. But we can choose to walk free of it. That's the whole point of the gospel. So in conclusion, Jesus did not come to give you a way to cope with the effects of the past. He came to help you resolve those effects completely. It takes time. And it's a struggle. But he is with you every step of the way. And he has already given you everything you need to set you free. So the question today then is, what emotions are you still struggling with? And what are they telling you about what you believe? Bring that to Christ. Let him replace the lie with his truth. I'm going to close in prayer, but I want to remind you of 1 Peter 5, verse 7 to 8. It says, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be alert and sober mind, and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that you did not just come to give us a way to cope with the effects and the lies of the past, but rather you came to help each of us resolve those effects completely. setting us free in Christ Jesus. We thank you that we know you are with us each step of the way, and that we can cast all our concerns, our anxieties, our anger, our addictions, our depressions, whatever it is that has a stronghold on our lives, we can cast it all on you because you care. And that by your name, we are set free. We are free indeed. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to close our service with the song.